Welcome to the Common Ground podcast presented by Cross of Christ Lutheran Church in Crown Point, Indiana. We strive to live out our faith by acting on Christ's command to love our neighbors. We want to make a difference in our community. And this commitment to community is the common ground we'll be discussing with our podcast guests. In today's podcast, we'll be talking with Tom Neifer, a longtime banker. Tom's career in banking has spanned 44 years, and he's currently a vice president in business banking with Centurion Bank. He has been married to his wife, Kathy, for 42 years, and he's a lifelong resident of Northwest Indiana, having graduated from Hebron High School and St. Joseph College. Tom, tell us a little bit about growing up and how that formed some of your life choices.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Growing up, my father passed away when I was 22 months old. My mother was a single parent, and that gave a different perspective on my life as I grew up. I was extremely fortunate. She had two uncles that were bachelors, but they lived in Hebron, and they became kind of my father figures, my male role models. They were great people. I had, they would play catch with me. They would take me to different things. I was living in a small town. I appreciated that because I guess I just like a small town better than a larger community. I went to a small high school, a small college. I felt a little bit more comfortable as far as being, I shouldn't say accepted, but being, a part of the organizations at different things. I really enjoyed that. So I think growing up, those were all various things that became pretty important to me. And I look back now, as they were definitely creating a path for me to go as I got older.
I could relate to needing the father figure. My dad died when I was 14, just a lot older than yours, but your situation. But I had a couple uncles that stepped up, and they were my role models.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. Who do you think was most influential in guiding your moral compass for you?
Well, I think two people. I think my mother, she was a single parent, not by choice, but in the early 1960s, it was maybe a different role that she was forced to play. And I think she got me on the right track. She always knew, even though it was a small town and everybody knew everybody else, she knew where I was going. If I left the house on my bike, said I was going to play baseball, she knew where I was going to be. And if I got in trouble, she would know about it before I got home. So, and that kind of gets you started on the right track, for sure. And I think my wife, she moved to Hebron when we were in eighth grade, and we graduated together. We were high school sweethearts. And I look at her as, it's kind of funny that when she came to the first class that we were at, something about her with me in my mind kind of clicked. I wanted to get to know her better. And of course, when you're in eighth grade, it's a whole different way of looking at things. But as I got to know her more, she was raised kind of the same way I was. She was a good person. She didn't do anything that was
didn't get in a lot of trouble.
I probably got into more trouble than she did. And I didn't want to do anything that would put me in a bad light in her mind, because I thought maybe we could grow into something, and it did. We started dating. We went to both high school proms together, and we dated through college. And then when I got out of college, we got married. So I really respect her for all of that.
Again, I can kind of relate to that, too. I told you, I was 14 when my dad passed away, and my mom, of course, became a single mother at that point. I had a young brother, a couple years younger, and I kind of lost my way there in junior high. Only time I really failed a class and was in junior high. Like I said, I was kind of losing my path. But after I met my wife Brenda in school, I I wanted to impress her. So that kind of helped me turn things around for the good.
Yeah, it's certain people, I guess, come into your life at the right time. You know, I look back now and I see the people that I was lucky enough to have in my life. There's a lot of kids, I'm sure, especially when you look at some of the city people in the city, any city, that are kind of on their own, to, you know, struggle a little bit. And I was very lucky. We had great neighbors. If for any reason my mother wasn't home, I knew I could cross the street and talk to the mom or dad, and they would help me, if you know.
That's great. You know that saying, it takes community, you know.
Yeah, it does take a village to raise a child, yeah. And that's for sure.
So how has your faith played a role in how you live out your beliefs in your career and your personal life?
Well, it's become extremely important. When I was young, we were very active in the Methodist Church, and for whatever reason, I don't know, we left the church. I was probably in junior high. In all honesty, when you're in sixth or seventh grade and your mother tells you that you don't have to go to church, I wasn't going to question it. I rolled over and went back to sleep.
Sure.
And I was pretty much unchurched for a long time. When Kathy and I got married, we were married in the Catholic Church because she was Catholic, and I had no problem with that. And when our son was born, when he got to be about 5 years old, it kind of dawned on me that I need to become more of a role model. You know, I could not tell him to go to church with his mother if I wasn't going to be there. That just wasn't right. So we became very active in the Catholic Church, and that had really helped me kind of become more of a base and more acclimated to things. And due to all different reasons, we left the Catholic Church and, again, didn't do much for a few months. And I finally, we talked, and I said, I need to find something. And she agreed. We needed to find a church that we felt comfortable with, and that's when we became Lutheran. We went through the adult education program. So I feel like, especially now, at 64 years of age, I feel I need it. You know, things happen in your life. I had open heart surgery when I was 38, and, you know, that was about the same age as my father was when he passed away, and all these different things kind of come into play, and you think, you know, maybe I need to get my own life in order. So, you know, it was one of those things that I think now I definitely feel I need to have church in my life. I feel the stability of that and the fellowship of it. You know,
it's wonderful, isn't it?
It is. You know, we here at Cross of Christ, there's fellowship after church. You know, there's things going on during Lent. There's, you know, all the different things, and that's just a part of church to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like going to church and then walking out and never seeing anybody again until next Sunday. So
right, you want to connect with the people, and that's a way to help you connect.
Yeah.
Was there any special person or educator who made a difference in your life?
Well, not so much an educator, but my mom's one uncle, Jack. He was probably my biggest role model. A bachelor, didn't drive. Lived in Hebron. I saw him probably every day. He took me fishing. Well, my mom took us fishing and dropped us off, but he took me hunting. He played catch, hit me fly balls in the backyard type of thing. I never saw him be upset about anything. And I'm sure he probably had his moments, but I never saw it. And I looked at him with such respect. In all honesty, we were trying, before our son was born, we'd been, you know, trying to have a child, and he passed away in November, I believe, and we found out we were pregnant in February. And it was kind of just meant to be type of thing. And so I look back to him with a lot of respect. I think of him a lot, even now. I mean, he's been gone. Our son is going to be 40. So it's been 40 years since he's passed away. And I still kind of look at him sometimes.
Sure. And, I think that's what you need in a role model or a father figure. You need, you trust them.
Sure.
Yeah. I understand you served as an organist for several churches. Tell us a little bit about that. Did you study music in college?
I didn't study music in college. I look back now and I wish I probably would have taken a few music courses, but I didn't. I was a finance major, and I guess at that point in my life. But I took, every mother wants their child to take piano lessons. I started them when I was 6. That was way too early. I couldn't get my left hand and my right hand to do the same thing that they were supposed to do. When I was about 8, I took 3 years of organ lessons from a gentleman in Boone Grove who taught a different way of doing it. And I kind of took to that method of learning the organ. I played for 16 years. I had played for 16 years at St. Helens Catholic Church in Hebron. And I played at St. Michael's Lutheran in Hebron. And I played at St. Paul's Lutheran in Coutts. I look at Cross of Christ, you have some fantastic keyboardists here.
We've been lucky.
Yeah, you're very blessed. So it's, in some of the other smaller churches, you just don't have that.
They have no one.
People can play, they just don't want to make the commitment. So
even though we have a number of people who can play the keyboard, you might be asked to occasionally fill in.
And I would be, that would be fine. If I don't know whether I can't live up to, I don't think the... what I've heard so far, but
I'm sure you
but
could.
Yeah, it's I think a very music is a very big part of my life and a very big part of any church's liturgy. I think it's one of those things that you can tell. I mean, as a kind of a music person, you either like the music or you don't. Some of the other churches we've been to, the music was very, I don't know how to word it, maybe mundane, not really what we were looking for or what I was looking for, I should say. I don't want to bring my wife into it, but what I was looking for. And
they
when
didn't
we
take it quite as seriously as you'd like to see.
Well, and when we came here, it's much more uplifting. The music is uplifting. The sermon is uplifting. When you walk out of the church, you feel like you've gained something. To us, that's what we were really looking for. That's what we needed in our life, or at least I needed in my life. I say we.
Sure.
Tom, in our faith, we often think of talents like your music as a spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel that the Spirit moved you to go to those churches? How did you end up in 3 different churches sharing such a talent?
Well, when we were at St. Helens, they just needed another organist. They had 3 masses at that time per week. I volunteered. I just felt it was the need to be available for that. When we went to St. Michael's, they didn't have any organist. The organist left when the pastor left. I'll be honest with you, one of the people in the church that has known my family for years and years says, well, Tom knows how to play the organ. All of a sudden, there I am. But it's just a part of it. And the same thing at St. Paul's. It was getting people that were willing to make that commitment was hard. And so I just feel that's a part of it. I enjoy it. Some of the churches, it became more of a job only because it was every single week. And that's hard. If we wanted to go down to see our son, then you had to kind of reschedule things and you had to try to make arrangements with another person to play for you. And that got to be hard. But yeah, I'm at a certain age in my life that I guess when I was younger, if I made a mistake, I worried about it the whole week because I thought, well, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done this, or, you know, I'm old enough now that,
they didn't even know you made that mistake.
That's it. Most people don't even realize it. And if they do realize it, well, I'm sorry.
We're just human.
Yeah. And but no, I do enjoy music. I like being a part
of
that.
They don't even know you made a mistake. You need to get over it faster, that's all.
And I can't sing. Cannot carry a tune in a bucket. And my wife will be the first one to tell you that.
A degree in finance, that sounds like more of a degree that would fit in with banking anyhow. As a banker, there is a fiduciary responsibility to care for the financial well-being of your customers. With Centier Bank, there's a culture of caring that is very intentional. Could you share some of the ways Centier Bank cares for our community?
Well, obviously. I think maybe to just take a step back, when I graduated from college, I started at Bank of Indiana, which was a very small bank. It was headquartered in Gary, but my office was in Merrillville, and they were very much of a community bank, and they got bought by Bank One, which is now part of Chase. I left at a point during all of that, and I ended up at National City, which is now a part of PNC. That was a little bit more of a struggle for me because it was a larger regional bank, and it was much more of a numbers-driven bank. Not that that's good or bad, it just was different than what I was used to. And when I had the opportunity 23 years ago to get into Centier, I was back into that community bank environment. And even though we have grown to... we are about an $8 billion bank now, with offices from Indianapolis North. We are still have that community feel. We still have bank-wide Christmas parties. We have bank-wide functions. We are very much looking to try to work with the communities that we serve. I'm proud of that, to have been a part of that. And I don't see that changing. Our chairman said he wasn't going to retire. He did retire as president, but he's still as chairman, and his son-in-law is now our new bank president. So it's a family-owned bank. Employees have an ownership in it, too. So I think that responsibility has carried on, and I don't see it changing. You know, we've got a branch in Winfield. We've got three or four branches in Crown Point, three or four branches in Valpo. And it's just the way we are kind of adapting to Lake and Porter counties. We want to be able to help where we can.
That's great. I mean, that feeling of at work, feeling part of a family, it's kind of like at church, you know, that fellowship makes you come together as a church.
Exactly. Yep.
So was there somebody in your banking career who helped you cultivate this practice of wanting to work at a community bank?
I think a fellow by the name of Angelo Jockerman. He was my boss. He was a senior partner or senior vice president of Bank One years ago. He was very much, he lived in Boone Grove or off of 500 West. So I guess his children went to Boone Grove High School. But he was one that kind of pushed me in that direction, more so of community assistance, community help. He was a member at St. Helens in Hebron, and that kind of got me into St. Helens before I was even a member. When they were trying to build their hall, he gave me tickets and told me to go out and sell them. I think it's like they don't know who I am, but it all worked, and you tended to. I met people, I got to know people. And I think he was the first person that really kind of pushed me more into that direction of the community help and organization. He was at Bank One, but I didn't start reporting to him until it was already Bank of Indiana.
Okay. Well, our church's mailing address is Crown Point. However, we're actually in the Winfield community. Winfield is growing exponentially right now. We will be adding 500 plus homes through various developments soon. How will that impact our local economy, and how does Centurion Bank plan to handle this growing needs of a large influx of customers?
Well, I can only imagine it will become a little bit more congested with traffic flow and everything. I believe, though, that the town management has probably started to take that into consideration and maybe has plans to, I don't know that for a fact, but maybe has plans to, widen certain roads or make it a little bit more accessible. From a banking standpoint, obviously we have our branch here. We're very active in the residential lending market. And we're also very active in small business lending. That's where I work, is in the small business group, which are loans under $1 million.
There's going to be a lot of homes going up and a lot of small businesses going up.
Yeah.
I
think the only thing is that some of the, and not just Winfield, but any business that is a franchise, there's probably limited help that most local banks can do because they're working with a bigger bank. They're working with larger banks that the franchise might be working for,
sure.
Working with. But there's also so many small businesses that just pop up and that are there because some of these franchises are there and that are bringing people in. So, it's, I feel fortunate to live close to Winfield, to be able to buzz up here and shop at Strax or wherever. And
you enjoy seeing some of those new small businesses popping
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
for sure. We do too. We live in Cedar Lake, and it's growing like crazy. All these communities around here are growing like crazy. And, those small businesses want to be part of that and get some of that money.
Well, and Hebron's growing too, where I live, and I don't know about Hebron so much, but a lot of times people are moving from Illinois, and that's okay, and it's
sure.
Also that brings in the necessary, whether you agree with it or not, the necessary tax base and the necessary dollars that are going to be needed to support the schools, and the fire department and the paramedics and everybody else that has to be there for for it.
Yeah, some people have been around for a long time. They don't really want to see that kind of development.
Yes.
But it's happening. So.
It is.
As a final note about your banking career, Cross of Christ recently reached an important financial goal. We paid off our church building's mortgage. You were there when two of our financial officers came in to make that final payment. How would you describe their emotions that day? Did you sense joy or just great relief?
Oh, definitely joy. I'm sure there was some relief that mortgage wasn't hanging over the church's head anymore. One thing I will say that I think, just to make it clear, I was not the lender that made the loan. I got it when he retired.
Okay.
So that's clear. But when the people came in and we met at the Winfield branch, they were so proud of that. They could not speak highly enough of Pastor Tam and of the whole congregation. Went over and above to be able to get that paid off. And it has to be a relief. I can only imagine to not... Because there's in any building, there's going to be ongoing expenses. You have to repave the parking lot, or you have to put a new roof on, or you have to do this or that. And if you don't have to worry about making a mortgage payment, you can build up those funds to cover those expenses a lot easier. But they were all just very happy about it. And
yes.
And I was happy for everybody. At the time, I didn't really know people that well. I had met them more in passing.
Well, I can tell you the congregation had a lot of joy and relief, too.
And they deserve it. That says a lot for the congregation.
Well, like you said, it's a pretty big burden you're whether it's personally in your life or a church, you know, that mortgage payment is one of the biggest bills you have.
Yeah.
You get that retired.
Sure.
It gives you a lot more flexibility with your
finances. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are too. Keep working on it. So we want to thank you today for being our guest and applaud your leadership and continued support of our community through your bank service. Thank you for helping us present our podcast, Common Ground.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. In next month's podcast, we'll be interviewing Esther Christoff, our own congregation's nanogenarian, who was given the Governor Sagamore of Wabash Award after more than 50 years' service with the Girl Scouts of the Calumet Council. See you then.